Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome. This is Patty Has a Gun, the life and crimes of Patricia Hearst, a podcast that takes you back to the 1970s and one of the most bizarre crimes in American history. I'm Brian Stelter, and I'm joined by Jeffrey Toobin, CNN's chief legal analyst, the author of American Heiress, and the executive producer of CNN's new series, The Radical Story of Patty Hearst. So Patty, along with her kidnappers, Bill and Emily Harris, have just escaped police after this shootout outside Mel's Sporting Goods. The three of them decide to go to a hotel near Disneyland to wait for some of the heat to blow over. And then what happened, Jeffrey?
Well, let's just remember what's happened here. The SLA consists of nine people at this point, and all nine flee to Los Angeles when the heat gets too intense in San Francisco after the bank robbery of the Hibernia Bank. They get separated. Bill and Emily Harris and Patricia get caught up at Mel's Sporting Goods. There's an incredible shootout, and they flee down to Disneyland to a motel across the street. The other six are in a shabby house in South Central Los Angeles. The night of the Mel's Sporting Goods shootout, the police surround the six surviving members of the SLA. Keep in mind that the police at this point think Patty Hearst is inside the house, but she's not. She's in Disneyland. The LAPD, very early action of the SWAT team, which has just been invented, goes to the house with a loudspeaker and says, "Come out with your hands up." They are met with gunfire from inside the house. What follows is the biggest shootout in American history involving the police. To this day, 5,000 rounds of ammunition go into that house. 3,000 rounds of ammunition come out of that house. And it ends in this tremendous conflagration where the house goes up in flames. All six members of the SLA inside, Donald DeFries, known as Sin Q, Willie Wolfe, Patty Hearst's alleged paramour, and four women, Ms. Moon Soltysik, Nancy Ling Perry, Camilla Hall, and Angela Atwood, they're all killed. And Patty Hearst is with her two other comrades, Bill and Emily Harris, watching it all take place on live television.
And the impression the viewers have is that Patty Hearst has probably died in this fire as well.
Exactly. And one of the things that makes this shootout so dramatic is that this was the first time a breaking news event had been broadcast to the whole country. So it wasn't just that this tremendous conflagration took place. It's that the whole world, including Patty Hearst's parents, including her estranged fiancé, Stephen Weed, and of course, Patty herself, watched as this house went up in flames.
So at first, the police might think that she's inside the house. Is Patty thinking, now we have even more of a head start to get away?
Well, what she's thinking is, my God, the cops are trying to kill me, which is what the SLA had been warning her all along.
It's hard to explain what it was like watching our comrades die, murdered by pig incendiary grenades. A battalion of pigs facing a fire team of guerrillas, and the only way they could defeat them was to burn them alive.
So here we are in June of 1974. She'd been kidnapped in February. She now is with the only two survivors of the SLA, Bill and Emily Harris, and the three of them decide to go on the run. And what follows is what's sometimes called Patty's Lost Year. For over a year, Bill and Emily Harris and Patty Hearst are on the run. They pick up another group of followers, is sometimes called like the second SLA, but it's really a very different group, and their adventures on the run take them more than a year until September of 1975, when they're finally arrested. The key figure in their survival is this figure named Jack Scott. Jack Scott was a journalist. He was an athlete. He was an early pioneer on the issue of rights for amateur athletes. And he was also a political activist. And he was involved in the Berkeley political scene. He meets up with Patty and Bill and Emily Harris, and he agrees to shelter them. And in an incredibly bizarre scene, he and his elderly parents drive Patty and Jack Scott, who are posing as a couple in the back seat of the car, all the way across the country. They drive to New York City, where they spend a few nights, and then they go to a farmhouse that Jack has rented in rural Pennsylvania, and they spend months there trying to perhaps write a book, trying to figure out what to do. But Jack Scott and his friend Wendy Yashimura wind up being the key figures in sheltering Patty Hearst for the first months after she's on the run.
And you mentioned Wendy. Who is she?
Wendy Yashimura is a friend of Jack Scott's from Berkeley, and she's an artist. She is a political activist, although not as active as the others. Her boyfriend had been charged and convicted of getting involved in political bombings. Wendy is basically on the run herself. She's not a violent person. She's not someone who's ever been involved in direct violence. And Jack basically recruits her to be the babysitter for Bill and Emily Harris and Patricia in the farmhouse in Pennsylvania. And Wendy and Patty become good friends and basically stay together until they're both arrested more than a year later in September of 1975.
Meanwhile, the police continue to search and they end up chasing a lot of false leads.
Right. This becomes a tremendous embarrassment to the FBI. Johnny Carson, who was, of course, the dominant talk show host of the era, was making jokes about the FBI and how they were trying to find Patty Hearst. What happens is Jack Scott and the three SLA members, Patty, Bill, and Emily, eventually get angry with each other, and Bill and Emily and Patty flee back to the West.
And when they're back in the Bay Area, who do they link up with?
Well, they go to Sacramento first, and they hook up with three siblings, Steve, Kathy, and Josephine Solia. It's pronounced Solia, not Solia, although a lot of people say Solia. And Steve Solia and Patty Hearst develop this romance, which Patty Hearst has long acknowledged. And they start to need money, and they rob two banks. The first bank robbery goes pretty well. The second bank robbery, Emily Harris shoots and kills, accidentally, apparently, a customer at the bank named Myrna Opsahl. And that crisis leads them to leave Sacramento and go to San Francisco, where Steve Solia, Patty Hearst, and Wendy Yashimura live together while Steve starts making a living as a house painter.
And what eventually leads to her capture?
Well, you know, it is amazing that she and these SLA folks are the most wanted people in the world for over a year, from the shootout in June of 74 until finally they're caught in September of 75. And basically, it's Jack Scott's crazy brother who goes to the FBI and says, my brother was sheltering them in Pennsylvania. The FBI goes to the farmhouse, gets fingerprints, and it eventually leads to finding Steve Solia. And in September of 1975, Patty, Steve Solia, Bill, and Emily Harris are finally arrested in San Francisco.
A key detail from the police is that she ran away. She didn't run toward these people who could have been saving her.
When the San Francisco police and the FBI corner Patty Hearst and Wendy Yashimura in their apartment in San Francisco, not only does Patty Hearst not greet them as liberators, she at first runs away to a closet where there are guns in the apartment, which is evidence, the FBI later asserts, that she was part of the SLA and looking to continue to fight. But she is captured, and the moments after her capture turn out to be enormously important, because not only when she's found by photographers, she gives them the revolutionary fist salute, she is booked the night of her arrest, and she's asked her occupation. And she tells the arresting officer that her occupation is urban guerrilla. That turns out to be highly significant.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk with an FBI agent who helped crack the case and find Patty more than a year and a half after she was kidnapped. Stay tuned.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number Smart Beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number Smart Beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. This week on Chasing Life.
Lately, we have been paying attention to a very different virus, bird flu, which is caused by the H5N1 virus. If you start to hear that it's circulating in pigs, that would be a concern.
That means I would go from sleeping with one eye open to one and a half eyes open. Yeah, that would make me very concerned.
Listen to Chasing Life, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring in Jason Moulton. At the time, he was an FBI special agent involved in the search for Patty Hearst. Jason, thanks for joining us. What was the biggest hurdle for police during her period on the run?
Well, the biggest hurdle was that everybody that was involved in the case was using an assumed identity. So as a result, they were extremely difficult to locate. And then the other hurdle was that Patricia Hearst had never been previously fingerprinted. So we didn't have any fingerprints available to us.
When did you get involved with the case?
During the summer of 1975, I was assigned the investigation of Wendy Yoshimura. She was a bombing fugitive wanted out of Alameda County, and I was assigned that case. And then we found her fingerprints in connection with a Honesdale, Pennsylvania farmhouse. We found those back in Pennsylvania, and that's what connected the two cases together.
So the farmhouse was a key part of eventually locating Patty.
That's exactly correct.
How did she ultimately get located?
In June of 1975, we got information that Kathleen Celaya was, we believe, to be living at that time with Wendy Yoshimura. I don't remember the exact address, but it was in downtown San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, and we went to that address, and literally they had moved out just hours before we got there. Eventually, what happened was one of the agents was able to get some information from an informant that a check had been put into an account. And it was from that check that we actually put this case together. It was a check to a guy by the name of Michael Borton. Michael Borton was a bombing guy. He and a fellow named Willie Brandt, who was the paramour of Wendy Yoshimura. Willie Brandt was in Soledad Prison. Kathleen Celaya was visiting Willie Brandt down in prison. And so we wanted to find out a little bit about this check. Who wrote the check? So myself and my partner, Ray Campos, went out to this apartment complex in Pacifica, California, and talked to the guy that had wrote the check. And he said, hey, I'm paying painters. And the painters told me they needed this check made payable to Michael Borton because they owed him some money. So we said, when do you expect them back? And he says, oh, they'll be here in a few minutes. So we started a surveillance. And who showed up was Kathleen Celaya and Josephine and Stephen Celaya. And then we followed them. And basically, as a result of that surveillance, we identified the property at 625 Morris Street where Patty was arrested and the 288 Presida where Bill and Emily Harris were arrested.
So just to review, you found that Steve Celaya and his brother and sister were working as painters outside San Francisco. And you ultimately followed Steve Celaya from painting to where he was living, which was 625 Moore Street, and you discovered that he was living with his paramour, Patty Hearst. And ultimately, on September 18th, your colleagues arrested her.
That's partially correct. What we found out was they were parking the car in the vicinity of 625 Morris Street. We didn't actually have that address. Eventually, we saw Bill Harris and Emily Harris come out of 288 Proceeda. We arrested them on the 18th of September. When we searched the residence, we found a bomb arsenal and lots of heavy weapons. I asked the agent in charge, Charles Bates, I said, did anybody go to the 625 Morris Street address? And he said, hey, we didn't even know about it. Well, I knew about it because we'd surveilled people there. And so we went to 625 Morris. Luckily, the garage door was open and the owner of the property was there. We went in, identified ourselves and said, hey, we're with the FBI. We're interested in the people that may be living here in this home. And he said, they're up there right now. Tim Casey and Tom Patton went to the back door, which was open. And Larry Passero and myself went to the front door. And that's when both Patty and Wendy were arrested.
Based on everything you learned, do you think she joined the SLA willingly or was she coerced?
What we know for certain is that she was a kidnap victim. And I've personally been to many of the locations where she was held. And what I can say is that my familiarity with her story about being held in a closet and being raped and all of those things, I think that that information is absolutely accurate. Now, that being said, at the time when she was arrested, she tried to go into the front room, and we believe she was headed for the closet where that M1 carbine was found. She had a .38 revolver in her purse that had hollow point rounds that had been cross-etched, so they're designed to kill people. That's the only purpose of that kind of a round. And then when she was arrested and was in jail awaiting her initial arraignment, when Steve Celaya was brought by, one of the things she asked was, hey, do you need some cigarettes? And he said, I've already got some cigarettes. And that's kind of an unusual conversation if you're a victim. I think she was a victim at the front end. She certainly changed. And when she robbed the bank in San Francisco, she somewhere switched from being a victim to now being the subject. And that's the reason why she was charged of bank robbery.
Hey, Jason, thank you so much.
Thanks, Agent Walton.
Okay, nice to talk to you guys.
Jeffrey, thanks so much. I'm Brian Stelter. Stay tuned for our next episode.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.